Good evening, friends. This is Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the late evening, cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is so pleasant. It's a gentle establishment at the end of Old Field Road, set on a hill with a view all the way to the horizon. Accompanying a little jazz is tonight's contemplative conversation based around perception, reception, receiving, having understanding, and learning. It's a thing called wisdom and insight, and man, oh man, do we need some. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Running parallel with wisdom is another glorious gift God has given to us, and that is the gift of learning. We can learn. Birds learn, ants learn, even trees can be trained. And whatsoever way we train them, whether a tree or a child, that's the way they will grow, for better or for worse. Hey, now, even fish learn.
We don't need easy. We just need possible, and our God has made a way.
In Matthew 11:29, Jesus told the disciples to learn.
Learn.
Another way to put it is to know and receive instruction, as in Proverbs 1:2-3. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of wisdom, to receive the instruction and understanding of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Some key words in that scripture are to receive, to know, and perceive. Proverbs 1:8 says for us to hear the instruction of your father, or so to say, listen and learn when your father instructs you. When God says,
listen to me,
or
lend me your ears,
he's saying, this is not small potatoes here, boy, pay attention. Now, not to capitalize on an old idea too much, but this is a value-added perception for us to pay attention to how often God uses certain words and phrases in Scripture. Many times, to know how God mentions something is to get a good idea of how important he thinks a concept, truth, or idea is for us to grasp. In light of that, the idea of learning, perceiving, getting wisdom, hearing and receiving instruction is mentioned more than 250 times in one fashion or another. When God mentions something that many times, we need to give him our ears or listen, perceive, and receive. Because as I understand it, God never tells us stuff just so we can say, I know. If we are learning, we are also teaching. So I have to ask myself then, what are we teaching and what are we learning? And when it comes to our children, even when we aren't teaching, we are still teaching by living life in front of them, and they are still learning. In a way, you could say we are contagious. So in light of all that, tap your toe and dream a little, and I'll be right back. Thank you. a song by Graham Nash, which was released in 1970, there is a line in a verse which says, "Teach your children well." Well, we and all the world around us are learning. Even when we don't know we are learning, we are learning. So we, as believers, we need to seriously consider, what are we teaching? To reiterate, if there is learning, then there is also teaching going on in some fashion. Being able to learn is a God thing, you know. If God didn't give us the ability to learn, we all might as well be rocks or something, mindless and inanimate. And here's a truth and a fact. If God doesn't give it, then we don't get it. And don't fool yourself into thinking that you're bigger than you are or more powerful than you are, or that you don't need God to get things that are essential to life, because you do. No one is smart enough or powerful enough to run their own life. If God doesn't give it, then we don't get it. Like in Numbers 29, when Moses was reciting to Israel all the things the Lord had done and encouraging them to keep the words of this covenant and do them. In verse 4, Moses says, "But God didn't give you an understanding heart and perceptive eyes or attentive ears until right now, this very day." If He doesn't give it, believe it or not, then we don't get it. Who is the sole source of wisdom? God. Where does a wise man get his wisdom? God. Who gives understanding to the heart? God. Who opens our eyes? God. Who gives us ears to hear? God. And once we perceive, who gives us insight to understand what we perceived? God. If God doesn't give it, then we don't get it. There comes first the idea that I'm seeing. Second, I may recognize what I'm seeing. And last, I understand what I'm seeing. There's also a balance to this. I believe everyone is born with the capacity to get understanding as is bestowed on us all by God from the beginning. There are extraordinary students and teachers who refuse to acknowledge God, but we need to understand and remember that it is the Lord who makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. But I want to take it a step beyond this world by saying, learning is one thing, but we can't make the most of things solely with what we were born with. Just because we can breathe, think, and choose doesn't mean we automatically know the best choice and actually possess the courage and strength to put it in motion. And think about that. Just because you breathe and choose doesn't mean that you don't need God. Actually, putting what God says in motion requires more than just carnal learning abilities.
We need Jesus in order to make our understanding and knowledge to go beyond just our brain.
We need more than good understanding and knowledge, but God understanding and knowledge. Thank you. As was mentioned previously, the Lord takes the idea of teaching so seriously that the idea of teaching, being instructed, and giving instruction is mentioned over 270 times.
Teachers are like pruners. They train the vine and gently cause it to prosper in order to make it more fruitful.
Teaching is such a big deal to God, He even mentions in James 3, verse 1, saying, "Don't let many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment," or "held to a higher standard."
Are we careful who we listen to?
Do we check the instruction of teachers comparatively against the Bible, or do we just take someone's word for spiritual accuracy?
Come on.
We can't allow ourselves to become so complacent that we cease to check out what we allow in our eyes and ears. We can't take the word of a friend concerning what the Lord says and means. I consider it irresponsible to take the word of someone just because they have published books and speak a lot without checking out what they are presenting as wisdom. And remember, whatever you learn, your children are going to catch that from you, so pay attention. If someone comes to your church and tells you the way to build a bigger, better church is to squeeze the people, pounding them incessantly and constantly about giving money, 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 well, something is off with that, and we must have some wisdom about what to do. 2 Peter 2:1 says there will be false teachers amongst us who bring in heresy or a wasting disunity. Did you get that? Wasting disunity. The Lord is saying, be careful what you see, little eyes. Be careful what you hear, little ears. Be careful what you say, little mouth. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And be careful, little heart, what you love. At this point, I think it's prudent to mention four basic guidelines for sound doctrine that we should use as a check and balance system. Here it is.
1.
Sound doctrine applies to the entire body of Christ. Yes, everybody.
2.
Sound doctrine should be by two or more scriptures, for Deuteronomy 19:15 says, "By the mouth of two or three witnesses the matter shall be established." And 3, sound doctrine is based on the entire Bible, cover to cover, not just some select feel-good verses, just the Old Testament or just the New Testament, but cover to cover. And 4, all scripture is relevant and necessary for the edification and instruction of the body of Christ today. All scripture is relevant and necessary.
Did you get there?
All based on the entire Bible.
All the book from cover to cover.
Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. In light of those guidelines, when we employ them, they are easy to put to work in all our getting wisdom and knowledge, as it's driven by the standard of God's righteousness and the Bible. The world certainly has very fluid standards, as we have seen, and what I call mobile boundaries. So we shouldn't be willing to define right and wrong by such worldly subjective standards, and think about that.
Mobile boundaries, meaning that when it suits them, the boundaries are near, and when it suits them, the boundaries are far. And the boundaries that they had today may not be the boundaries that they have tomorrow.
We need to get knowledge and wisdom from a better source. And wouldn't you know, it just is our good fortune that Jesus Christ has made a way for us to approach the sole source of imagination, salvation, wisdom, and knowledge in the universe, God Himself. and absolutely anyone can come to God through Christ. Lend me your ears. This is a good thing. Get wisdom and instruction for yourself from the best place, God. Be wise and learn well. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. I've often thought that for me personally, being wise enough to know wisdom and understanding when I see it would be truly wonderful, because over the years, I've felt I've missed many of God's gold wisdom nuggets. Although I may have missed the opportunity, in His continuous faithfulness, they weren't gone and He brought them back around. But truly, I would like to get better at perceiving and receiving instruction from my righteous source.
When wisdom knocks on our door, do we even perceive it?
Or is it just obscure to our eyes and fuzzy to our ears? How many men and women have married the wrong person, and the Lord really was extending them wisdom and flags of warning, but they simply weren't in a frame of mind to hear and see, and they just weren't having it. I fear many are sleepy-eyed. They hear the lullaby of the world, and it sings softly to them that it's okay to doze off for a while, and in the meantime, while they're asleep, the world is changing, but it's okay. Just doze a little doze and sleep a little sleep, and it's okay. The dazzle of this world fills their senses, and often, Jesus, the wisdom of God, is right under their noses, and they don't know it. And I don't mean just those who are lost and undone either. We're talking to the church here. Sleeping people don't learn well, nor do they teach anything but how to sleep.
Ah, now that's a good one right there.
Sleeping people don't learn well, nor do they teach anything but how to sleep. I heard a man say once,
"One of the things we've learned from history is that we don't learn from history."
Oh boy. There is understanding and wisdom to be learned from history. And all I can think is we and our leaders aren't accepting the God-activated gift of learning, which takes life to a whole new place. Here are some letters, then I hope that they are sticky, meaning I hope they stick to you. Remember, H.P. K.R. Hear, perceive, know, and receive. Say it with me now. Hear, perceive, know, and receive. It seems to me we take for granted the opportunities to learn as God places circumstance after circumstance in front of us.
Maybe we have become complacent to change and the chance to expand and grow. Like the elderly man who finally took up the notion to own a computer and learn to use it. He went about it like a man with a new car. He purposed to learn about his new tool. Do we listen to the Lord with the same enthusiasm, lending Him our ears, looking diligently for the work of the Lord so we can go join Him in it? Not only do we come into the world with the ability to learn, when we let Jesus into our lives, suddenly our ability to get instruction and wisdom is supercharged. We can begin getting wisdom and receiving instruction by cultivating a mindset of faith and trust in Christ. And that very simple intent of our heart leans us towards embracing the endless possibilities within the relationship with our Beloved. Being instructed and learning from the living God ignites creative thoughts, pushes past our current limits and comfort zones, engages us in a deeper purpose than just serving ourselves, and it makes us fully alive. Jesus told the disciples to learn, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. God's teaching and our learning causes us to come completely awake, and He makes us to thrive consciously. Amos 5:6, "Seek the Lord and you will live." He was not just speaking of eternity. He was speaking of living life right now. And conversely, isolate yourself from the love of the Lord, and you will join the living dead and those without Christ. You know, people can't say they are genuinely alive just because they are not medically dead. Come on now, you know it's the truth. We cannot be fully alive if we treasure our hatred more than we treasure the love of God, Jesus Christ. Anyone who is so thoroughly tied to the past, their disillusionments and disappointments, doesn't love history, but might very well simply be escaping the present. We have to teach our children well and be present in the room.
In order to teach well, we must learn well.
That's right. I can't give away what I don't have. And if I don't possess knowledge, understanding, or my gifting is imaginary, I can't give it away. Sort of like a man who has chickenpox, but he tells everyone he has measles. It doesn't make any difference how loudly he tells everyone he has chickenpox. The only thing they can catch is measles.
We can only give away what we've actually got.
And if by God's revelation and insight, you realize you don't possess wisdom and insight. Go to God and get something better. Ask Him to cause you to have a better attitude and to have the right things to give away, that others would prosper and be fruitful. It is difficult to maintain our momentum in Christ if we are dishonest, disingenuous, and hypocritical. If we live in our own false little world where we attempt to create reality with our lies, imagining ourselves to become more than we are, we will become dull and will live like tarnished silver. The truth sets us free to be who we are rather than who we fabricate ourselves to be. We have to teach our children well. Thus, we ourselves have to learn well. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Learn from me. Know, perceive, understand, and receive." Let's give the Lord our ears. Lord, teach us that we may prosper, and think about it. Wisdom isn't just knowledge, but know-how. God's wisdom enables us to know how to do things and includes having the ingenuity to formulate a plan and then to carry it out in the most efficient manner. Even if you think you've got plenty, get some more. Because obviously if you think you've got enough, the truth is you're in short supply. I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, a little bit of well-spent time with cool jazz and contemplative conversation. This program has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Sinclair Menswear on Main Street, Service in Step with Southern Progress at Best Radio and TV, Old Buddy Eddie over at Area 22 Guitars, and Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by Brian Bromberg, the Brecker Brothers, Jim Beard, Plas Johnson, Mark Egan, and Mike Stern. All music use is licensed by BMI. Friends, according to Ephesians 4:21-24, if we hear God and are taught of God, then we are empowered to put off our old conduct and are renewed in our spirit and mind. And boy, I think that we could all use a pretty big dose of renewal in our spirit and mind these days. Learning. God activated learning teaches us how to put on the new creation we have become in true righteousness and holiness. Give the Holy Spirit your ears and surrender to Him your eyes. Teach your children well. Think. Thanks for joining me. Drive carefully, watch out for the other guy, and we'll catch up next time. Yeah.
Thank you.